Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Louie, and Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the Twisted Thoughts of Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Dig into a Wednesday morning as we keep it brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Anna Craft of Stone Art with Richard and Laurent, and Double Helix with Faziana and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday split between Grey Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon in the Great White North and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Grey. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30, Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Come take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Join a phase and a babbler on Thursdays. They teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Join Dex and Pam on Saturday, give you Once Upon a Time. Then every other Sunday, join Arcana as he goes delving deep into the darkness. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call us to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean.
Hello, Rex. How are you?
All righty. What's up?
You know, not too much. I was hoping you could hear me. Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, so this is good. It sounds like a good show. Tell me about the Wilburys, the traveling Wilburys.
Yes.
Because I'm
was a super group for two albums. It started out in 1987. George Harrison was putting together his new album, Cloud Nine, and Jeff Lynne was the producer on that album. Jeff Lynne had also, in his own right, was a wonderful singer and songwriter. He'd just come off a couple of years earlier as the Bite and Sound in ELO, that's Electric Light Orchestra. So,
okay,
he was doing the...
Radio. Keep hold and you'll be able to listen.
Right.
Okay,
sorry.
That's funky.
So he was
producing the album for George, and they got to talking, and George suggested we should put a band together. And so he said, "You pick one musician you'd like to bring in to join us, and I'll offer up the same thing." So George opted for Bob Dylan, and Jeff opted for Roy Orbison. And then they both chimed in to add a fifth, which was Tom Petty. Now, later on, they were having, as they were doing that album for George, they were having some glitches in the studio. So George says, "Don't worry about it. We'll bury it in the mix." And that was part of where the note for the name of the group comes from, Traveling Wilburys. He said, We'll call ourselves the Trembling Wilburys, and Jeff said, "No, make it the Traveling." And, a group of folk minstrels, so to speak, touring the countryside, making people happy with music.
There you go.
Well, anyway, the album did well for George. He had a couple of hit singles off it, and the executives at Warner said they asked George to give them another single for a European release a little later in the year, just a brief mix for the B-side of one of the songs. Okay, so him and Jeff got together, and he'd already met Roy Orbison by this time, and he asked Roy Orbison to join them as they go and make the mix of this song for George, and George calls up Bob Dylan because he had a studio in his garage in Malibu, and you couldn't get a studio at short notice, so he called Bob, who was already a friend. He'd known him since the early 60s. And since he left his guitar, guitar over at Tom's house, he went there first to pick up the guitar, and then he asked Tom to come along and join the madness, so to speak. So they all sit down with their acoustic guitars in the garage over at Bob's place. They're all playing this song that he's gotten. And then they say, "What are we going to call this thing?" And George kind of looks around the room. There's a couple of boxes there. And one of the boxes, he's got a label on it. "Handled with Care," he said. "Handled with Care." That was the name of the song they came up with. So they got it all recorded. Everybody split for now. George and Jeff went back to London to do the mix on it, because they needed to add in percussion, drums, piano, electric guitar, and any other notes they wanted to. So they get that finished. They then give it up to the Warner Brothers executives, who listened to it and said, "Damn, this is good. We don't want to put this on a B-side. This deserves its own album." So George looks at Jeff. "Okay, we're going to make an album." So they then call up, got a hold of Bob. He said, "Yes, I'm in." And they went around to Tom's place. He said, "Hell yeah, I'm in." And then they went into L.A. where Roy Orbison was was fixing to go on stage for a concert. So before they, he went on stage, they asked him if he wanted in. He said yes. And they're all giggling like kids in the background listening to a Roy play his show, which they love. They all loved him. So they got together. This would be early 88. And since Bob had a tour day, the never-ending tour coming up, and Roy also had a tour coming up, they only had 10 days. So they're in L.A. They're over at Eurythmics, a former bandmate, David Stewart's house, and using his studio. So they'd write the music during the day, mix it at night. It took them 10 days to get the whole album together. It was called The Traveling Wilburys Volume 1. That song, Handled with Care, came off of that album as a hit. And it's the most, it was the one song that everybody seemed to love and wrote to for this show. And then everybody split up again because, you know, Roy and Bob had to go on tour. So in the meantime, they decided on, they got this funky little vibe of who the Wilburys are. They offer up a little note to Daddy Wilbury, and the five guys are now half-brothers, so to speak. George was known as Nelson Wilbury. Jeff Lynne was known as Otis Wilbury. Roy Orbison took Lefty Wilbury. Bob took Lucky Wilbury. And Tom took Charlie T. Wilbury Jr. As their names. They thought about planning on going out on tour. But unfortunately, that wasn't going to happen because in December of 88, Roy Orbison died of a massive heart attack, which kind of put a damper on things. But the boys, they did come back for a second album. They didn't call it In Deference to Roy. Instead of going with Volume 2, they went straight to Volume 3 and worked the music as though Roy was going to be there to do it with him. It was a celebration to him. And later that year, that would be 91. And in 89, Jeff Lynne worked with Tom Petty producing his first solo album, the one that had that great song on it, Free Fallin'. But Tom had also worked with Roy Orbison on an album for him that came out posthumously, which he never got to see. This collaboration between the five of them reboosted all of their careers right in that moment in time, because Bob hadn't had a decent selling album in 8 years. Roy Orbison hadn't had anything since that duet he had done in 1980. And Tom was coming off the Heartbreakers, taking a break from that and getting his solo career off the ground. And Jeff Lynne had been producing, and George had just put out a new album. So they were all going to do this, get on their own project, come back for a second, do a little touring. They were saying, hey, the album did very well. So, and unfortunately, that never came to bear.
Huh. That is something. It's a wonder, don't
you? Oh, it is, because, you know, George knew everybody before they even got together. Because he worked with Jeff Lynne. He met Roy Orbison in 1963, because he came to England. He was supposed to headline a show that the Beatles were at, but the Beatles got so big at that really quick pace time that they took the lead, and Roy played kind of second fiddle. And Brian Epstein asked Roy if he wouldn't mind backing up the Beatles, so to speak. He said, "What are the Beatles?" Didn't know, hadn't heard anything at that point in time. And the Fab Four, they'd sit behind the stage listening to Roy playing, and God, how the hell are we going to top that? And their very first hit, Please Please Me, was actually patterned after Roy Orbison.
Huh, how's about that?
And then the boys met Bob Dylan in 1964, when they came over for the Ed Sullivan Show. And initially, George had met Tom Petty in 1974 at Leon Russell's house, but he hooked up again with them early 87 because he was touring as the backup band for Bob Dylan at that point in time.
Right. Amazing. All kinds of you're just full of tidbits, aren't you? All kinds of tidbits. Most definitely. A lot of interesting stuff there because you have to wonder how they all came together, you know, each one being...
Well, the funny thing was that day in Bob's studio when they did Handle With Care, George was the ringleader, the master ceremonist, so to speak. He looked at Bob and he says, "Bob, we're not going to treat you any different. You're just one of the boys here." And Bob looks at him, "Hey, that's fine with me because I look at you guys the same way."
Yeah.
And every time Roy Orbison did his singing parts, no matter what was going on, the other four stood around in amazement listening to Roy. They all had a great affinity for the guy.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Yeah, there's a great cast of characters, let's put it that way. Pretty incredible. But that's what makes it all good, you know. And everybody made well on or did well on their own. You know, it's just a meeting of the minds, you know, pretty much. So I find that intriguing.
They got along so well because to them, it was nothing but the music. That's all that mattered. The ego went out the door. And they even, George even made it right up front. He said, it doesn't matter who puts down the words or part of the words or who puts down the notes. Each one of us gets an equal share. So whatever the songs were, you saw on the when it came to who wrote the song, Petty, Harrison, Dylan, Orbison, Lynn. Every song.
Yeah. That's good, though. That's good. That's the way it should be. You know, that, because if you don't have that element of equality and respect for one another, you're never going to, you know, get far. That's the way I look at it.
No, they all thought that much of each other.
Yeah.
The brothers we never had on the backside when it came to music.
Right. Very good. Very good, very good. Okay. I don't know, Rex. It's still you and me. I guess maybe I should be a pain in the butt and get the party started. Up to you.
Well, we're gonna lead off with that first hit they had, Handle With Care.
You got it. That's exactly what we're gonna do. And let me just hit that button.
Up and battered around, been sent up and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable, situation's horrible, but baby, we'll
Yes, I forgot one note. Before they did the song, George had all the boys sing parts of the song to fit a particular voice to a particular mood. You got that note with George singing out the name and then having Roy come in with his band and then the rest of the gang singing the chorus.
Nice. Always something, man. Always something. Yeah, it was a good one. I like that song. I'm not 100% up to date on my Traveling Wilburys, but I've heard a little bit of them. Okay, Rex, I'm going to put this first piece up by you, and it's called Always a Star by Lockdown Larks. So,
right.
You ready?
Always a Star by Lockdown Larks. Who wants to sing a song? Maybe you can play along. Don't matter who you are, you will surely belong just because you dare. Been around and got life's kicks. It don't matter who's in the mix. We'll bury the errors, saying got you for the fix just because you care. Then do some traveling, the party getting into full swing. So soon when Lefty left, and now for him, let's sing just to say a prayer. So together we have grown just because we're not alone. If you have some love to give, it's the best thing you've ever known. Just because you share. It doesn't matter who you are. If you have some love to give, you will always be a star. If loving is the way you live, love living and live loving, and all can be somewhere. And poem.
Nice read, Rex. Nice read. I think this was a nice, nod to friendship and to being together. And, you know, taking care of each other, you know what I mean, in some way or another. I think that, where is it? Been around and got life's kicks. It don't matter who's in the mix. We'll bury the errors, then got you for the fix, just because you care. Then do some traveling, the party getting into full swing. So soon when Lefty left, and now for him, let's sing, just to say a prayer. You know, and that's the loss in that friendship. And, you know, I think it's a great nod to that in general, you know, and nicely put together and, you know, a great piece. I think that there's a lot of nice stanzas in this and, you know, good lines, you know, I mean, really. So excellent job, Lockdown Larks. And I think, you kind of got it there. So nice work.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's a great picture of them all, too. Sitting, you got George and Roy sitting in a pair of what looks like old chairs. Bob Dylan kind of one hand on each arm of the chair in between, and then Lynn and Petty as the backup notes. The three in the center stage there, the old dukes of the game, so to speak, with the two younger ones behind. Nice picture. And boy, they look comfortable as hell and happy. But yes, Lockdown kind of hit on the same thing that I mentioned in the going in. We'll bury the errors in the mix. The nice touch he hit on that. And then hitting on that note to Lefty leaving too soon again. Yeah, he was only 52 when he died, unfortunately. And fitting tribute considering the friendship they shared and what little time they actually got to spend together. They really enjoyed each other's, not just the music, but the camaraderie and the feeling of being those minstrels without having to be the big stars in the moment by putting out their names and just offering themselves up as ordinary folk.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Lockdown.
Wow, all of a sudden I got music player. Whoa. It's like I didn't do anything, but I did do something. I'm just not going to tell you what. Okay. That was great. I'm going to put up this next piece by Akiko Sox. I think Akiko Sox, yes. It's called Striped Sox Handled. So, let me give this a whirl. And Striped Sox Handled by Akiko Sox. I won't pretend to be shot down. I won't curve like your frown. It's fake from every angle. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just a lonely angel. My halo isn't for your basketball. Isn't for basketball. My wings aren't for you to flaw. You can't judge what you can't afford. You can't play ball with someone who wants it all. That is your only flaw. How I wish that to be true. How I wish for a... And left with pieces of a man I created inside my mind. That's where you will find this man I recreated. I can handle the bullets. I can handle the loss of wings. Try to take my halo from me. I'll be sure that heaven stings. So forgive yourself. So give yourself up. Don't be stupid. Don't try too hard next time. You are no longer the man. I have finally become a woman. Until your next lover's Cupid. Until our next lover's Cupid. There you go. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. And well done, Akiko. Just kind of walked in that note of a parody, because you hit on that. I won't pretend to be shot down. I won't curve like your frown. It's fake from every angle. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just a lonely angel. Kind of hitting on those notes of both George and of Roy, and that sort of that third stanza. I'm left with pieces of man I created inside my mind. That's where you will find this man I recreated. And then I can handle the bullets. I can handle loss of wings. Try to take my halo from me. I'll be sure that heaven's thing. This is all about hey, you might be unhappy in the moment because of the loss, but you're walking away a little smarter in the moment, standing that yes, it'll come around again, Cupid's arrow, but you'll be a little bit stronger for what you went through, and you'll know exactly what you're looking for, as opposed to maybe wishing upon a star, so to speak. I like this. Thank you, Akiko.
There you go.
All right, Jean, what about me?
Well, you know, it was a neat piece. I was, it says prompt two here. I just want an empowering poem to give wings to those who need it. I thought that was nicely said down there in the author's notes. But I have to be with you. I'm like, I can handle the bullets. I can handle the loss of wings. Try to take my halo from me. I'll be sure that heaven stings. Don't give yourself up. Don't be stupid. Don't try too hard next time. You are no longer the man. I have finally become a woman. Until our next lover's Cupid. A clever piece. I mean, you know, and even though, you know, it sounds like she's talking serious, it still seemed a little lighthearted in ways. So, you know, I thought it was a nice share and a good addition to the show. I'm trying to, you know, think on my feet. But great job, Kiko, Akiko, and thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. Now, oh, I mean, never to put a video up in the damn room before a show. Every time I go back to the room, it starts playing.
Oh,
I swear.
Oh, I wonder what that was.
Yeah, it just keeps going on. And I'm, you know how it works. Anyway, this next piece I'm going to put up is by Swimmer7, and it's called Eggs. And Rex, I'm going to have you give this one a read, because, yes. That's the way. Whenever you're ready.
Eggs by Swimmer7. Been beat up and whisked around, been sauteed and been ground down. You are brittle and I am round, handle me with flair. This composition's changeable, your patience is laudable, maybe I'm affordable, handle me with blooming. Unexpired and feeling lowly, I still have some stuff to give, won't you stir me in your omelet there? Everybody's got somebody to steam on, put your anchovy next to mine and dream on. I've been baked off and I've been cooled. I've been parched wrong and been misused. In dodgy cakes and cooking schools, handle me with flair. Been stuck to pans and terrorized, spent at meetings sandwich size, overcooked and socialized, handle me with flair. I'm so fried and being lonely, I still have some joy to give. Won't you whisk me into something fair? Everybody's got somebody to clean on. Put your body next to mine and dream on. I've been hard-boiled, a lot I guess, but I've been used in an eaten mess. Oh, the sweetness of press. Handle me with flair. And phone.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a perfect parody.
Too funny. I mean, it just really is just comical. It makes you look at eggs in a whole different way. But I like how you started out. Been heat up and whisked around. Been sauteed and been ground down. You are brittle and I am round. So handle me with flair. This composition is changeable. Your patience is laudable. Maybe I'm affordable. Handle me with flair. I think it was really well done. Clever piece. Intriguing. You know, you can't help but wonder where he came up with this. And I'd love to like kind of think back to like, where did they get that from? Kind of like when Pam writes, I go, where did she get that from? But I think it's just fabulous. And, you know, the next stanza down to unexpired and feeling lowly. I still have some stuff to give. Won't you stir me in your omelet there? I mean, I just think it's funny. And, just a great job. Creative for sure. And I like that. Definitely.
Oh, it is. He gets the George and Roy parts are done well. You just read that one. This bottom one, too, is really good. I'm so fried and being lonely. I still have some joy to give. Won't you whisk me into something, Claire? Oh, man. this is quite the piece. Sometimes you do feel like
yes.
Gets thrown out with everything else because nobody wants it. It's no longer up to snuff. I like this. This is cool. Thank you very much. This was a fun piece.
I see. See, you should have sung it, Rex. You know?
I didn't realize it at the time. I said, oh, damn.
See how that works. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it was a nice share, I have to say. Okay. I am going over to get the next piece to read. And this one is by Betty Page. So. Let me grab that. Oof. Okay. And here we go. Oh, there it goes again. Son of a gun. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to fix it. Okay. Now, this piece is called Mend My Lonely Heart by Betty Page. And let me give it a whirl. Mend my lonely heart. Verse 1. I'm lonely, so tired, can't sleep. Come, sweet love, please mend me. I can't take it anymore. I've slammed every open door. So tired of loneliness. All I need is just your kiss. You're my universe, my love. Fine king sent from up above. I'm lonely, so tired, I can't sleep. Come, sweet love, please mend me. Just come deep into my room. Looking at you, my heart swoons. So tired of loneliness. All I need is just your kiss. You're my universe, my love. Fine king sent from up above. I'm lonely, so tired I can't sleep. Come, sweet love, please mend me. I can't take it anymore. On my knees, I'll beg, implore. Searching for you at midnight, one true love's my pure delight. In summertime's rain, hold me. Make love to me, mend me free. So tired of loneliness. All I need is just your kiss. You're my universe, my love. Fine king sent from up above. Sweet divine, let's sip some wine. Adventure naked entwined. Drifting round my lush soft curves. Ride me vicious, never swerves. So tired of loneliness. All I need is just your kiss. You're my universe, my love. The king sent from up above. And poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. Another one bent on that note to a parody. Nicely done, Betty. I like that note. Yeah, I'm so lonely. I'm lonely, so tired, can't sleep. Hitting on that Roy Orbison note of I'm so tired of being lonely. I like that. And the chorus. was a nice turn too. So tired of loneliness, all I need is just your kiss. You're my universe, my love. Fine thing sent from up above. I think she might have even changed it slightly bit. No, okay, she remained the same.
Yeah.
Well,
great piece.
It is that note of finding that one to fill the void within one's heart. Got plenty to give, yet still waiting for the one to come along.
Yeah. Yeah, that is never easy. Never easy. Yeah. Patience is more than I have, right? That's the way it works.
You got to read it. What about you?
You know, I like this piece by Betty. I really did. You know, I picked the three parts. I picked three parts, not the three parts. But I'm lonely, so tired I can't sleep. Come, sweet love, please mend me. I can't take it anymore. On my knees I'll beg and implore. Searching for you at midnight, one true love's my pure delight. In summertime's rain, hold me. Make love to me. Mend me free. So tired of loneliness, all I need is just your kiss. You're my universe, my love. Fine king sent from up above. You know, I think that those three were kind of like, you know, the meat and potatoes of the piece itself. You know, three separate sets of words, you know, that kind of fell together nicely and really had a lot to say, you know. But I think this was excellent, Betty, and it was a great share for tonight. Very well done.
Yeah, I have to go back and look at that line. Did Jean just really say that? As always, because I thought when you got to that, you're my universe, that first time you read it, it sounded like you're my uterus. And I said, what? What? I didn't see that.
Don't tell me that. Now I'll be all paranoid about reading. Good God, Gert. Tamir, I thought I was having a clear moment here with this mic. Oh, God. No, I didn't say uterus. I would have stopped and cracked up before I let it leave my lips, because I would have been like, huh? Yeah. You know, it doesn't take much for me to confuse. But, yeah, but I think Betty did a good job with it. I mean, you know, it was a great take on the prompt, and it was clever, definitely. So, Betty, it was a good share, and thank you much. Yep. So, let me see what I'm doing now, because I don't know. Oh, I have another one for you. That's what I have now. And
yeah.
Here we go. Let me see now. This one has your name over it. It's called A Mouse Attack by Lawrence 67. Yes, and whenever you're ready.
A Mouse Attack by Lawrence 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie in A Mouse Attack. Fight, fight. Get him, Alfie. Kick his ass. Come on. Put him up. Slap, slap. Pow. Kaboom. Poke, poke. Damn, Alfie. He's kicking your ass. He won't stand still. Come on. Fight me like a cat. Come on. Bam, bam. Debunk, debunk. Alfie, you're getting your ass whipped by a mouse. What the F? Ow! Ow! Quit it! Mommy! Here I am to save the day. I'm Mighty Mouse, if that's okay. And up, up, and away. Handled with care. Been beat up and batted round. Been sent up. I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. The end.
Oh, my God.
That's why I put it, I had to look, all right, which one did he go to? So he puts handle
right.
Chair at the back end of this. All right, there it goes. This works.
Right, absolutely. Oh, that's too funny, Rex. You know, you definitely know how to read this better than I would ever. Because I would never be able to keep the voices straight and know what the heck I was doing between characters. But I think that it really, it was funny. It was... a clever write, and I think it was a great share for tonight. You know, and I like how he kind of tied it up with the, you know, been beat up and battered round, been sent up, and I've been shot down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. There you go. And he, he kind of, you know, hit on that note, and I think that he pulled it together, you know, clever stuff. So nice work, Lawrence 67. Nice job.
Funny thing, all five of them kind of hit that very same note with this going into this song, but this was like a swimmer. This was funny as hell, too. Oh, my God. especially with that thought, here I am to save the day. I'm happy now. Oh, God. I hadn't heard that one in a long time. That was funny. And then the finish out, hitting on the notes, like you said, been beat up, battered around, been sent up, and I've been shot down. That was a nice finish on that.
Absolutely.
Double.
You have to agree with that.
Well done, Lawrence. That was good. Thank you very much.
Okay. The next song I want to play is End of the Line. So let me hit that button. There we go.
Well, it's all and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring. Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right, sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got somewhere to lay. Well, it's all right, every day is judgment day. Somewhere down the road away, you'll think of me and wonder where I am these days. Maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays purple haze. Happy to be alive. And it don't matter if you're by my side. I'm satisfied. Well, it's all.
George set that up right. Everybody got their part in that song to play on. Nicely done.
That is a great song. I liked it. Let me see now. The next piece I'm going to put up is for you, Rick. And this is called by W.P. McLeod 1. McLeod. I'm not sure. I think it's McLeod. So whenever you're ready.
End of the Line by W.T. McLeod. Riding out fresh in the root down breeze, maybe bouncing on my tree knob knees, looking out across acres of compromised land, making a living in a traveling band. And it's all right if the phone still rings, and the bluebird in the steel cage still sings, and the fish still bite at the end of the line, and you got nothing left but the passing of time. Singing ballads for a living and strumming guitars like telescope lenses reaching for the stars. Nobody listens but a chrome microphone, and when night snuffs the candle, you sleep alone. Cash for the evening and credit for the rest. You ride the motel bus and sign in as a guest. The hot water's too cold, you can't wash off the grime, and your pink mouth is hooked at the end of the line. She left on a plane, destination unknown, left you high and knocked out without even a groan. When the auto dial failed for the 100th time, the sign in the sand said, "Your feet crossed the line." And boom.
Wow.
Another one. I'm going to have a hard time with this group.
I think this was really well done. You know, it became kind of a story, you know, when he started out in the beginning, though. Riding al fresco in the roof-bound breeze, baby bouncing on my tree knob knees, looking out across acres of compromised land, making a living in a traveling band. You know, it kind of sets the stage for what's coming up, you know. Singing ballads for a living, strumming guitars, you know, you got that whole thing going on. But then you get down, she left on a plane, destination unknown, left you high and knocked out without even a groan. When the auto dial failed for 100th time, the sign in the sand said, "Your feet crossed the line." There's more to the picture than meets the eye, see. Something happened. I'm just going to say that because I'm not going to speculate, God forbid. But, I thought it was a great job, and I thought it kind of hit nicely with the song. You know, I didn't find it to be a reflection of the song or whatever. I think it just followed the feel of the song and how it was pulled together and, you know, the story that was told. It was well done. So thank you so much, W.P. McLeod. Great job.
He did do a good job. Dropped in that note to a traveling band on that first stanza. And then at the end of the line, and the fish still bite at the end of the line, and you got nothing left but the passing of time. Nice to know that. And
right.
And that note right there, and it's all right, the phone still rings. I can hear that from Orbison. I can also hear, where was it, this one? Singing ballads for a living and strumming guitars. I can hear Tom Petty in that. And that also, the cash for the evening, credit for the rest. You ride the motel bus, you sign in as a guest. The hot water's too cold, you can't wash off the grime, and your pink mouth is hooked at the end of the line. I can hear Bob Dylan in that. So he placed this just as well as George did with the note to the voices from the song playing out in his own words. I like that. Well done, WP. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. Next piece I'm going to put up, well, if I can find it, I must have done something silly. Here it is. Nothing unusual there. Okay, this piece is called "Well, It's Okay" by Spring Sky 39, and I'm going to give that a read. Well, I'm going to try and give it a read. I never guarantee anything. "Well, It's Okay" by Spring Sky 39. Well, it's okay when you have a friend. Well, it's okay going places you've never been. Well, it's okay when you have one to love. Well, it's okay when one's gentle as a dove. Parents love their kids at the end of the day, and we like things we never did at the end of the day. Well, it's okay when you like your job. Well, it's okay when you've no reason to rob. Well, it's okay when you've time to rest. Well, it's okay when you find you've been blessed. Everyone likes their new toys at the end of the day, and favorite things we do not destroy at the end of the day. Well, it's okay to drive a new car around. Well, it's okay to show off sometimes in town. Well, it's okay to wear a new hat around. Well, it's okay to know you're heaven bound. We all like to be a star at the end of the day. If we could play guitar at the end of the day. End poem.
Damn. Another good one. Holy shit. I'm going to have a hard, really hard time. This is well placed too. Well, it's okay when you have a friend. Well, it's okay. Go place you never been. Got that same rhythm and tone, even down to the throat with the chorus. Parents love their kids at the end of the day, and we like things we never did at the end of the day. Damn. Nicely done there, Spring. Thank you very much. I'm glad you ended along with the rest. And I'm going to hate myself at the end of this when I have to judge.
Yes.
This ain't going to be easy. Damn. All right. What are you thinking?
Give me 1 second. There we go. Now I got that word out before I lost it. Okay. I thought this was a clever piece. Nicely written and great expression of thought in regards to the prompt. I thought that it was really, you know, a nice job, and I think that it was well put together. You know, the parody part of it, you know, I'm glad you recognize things. Cause sometimes I don't. If I'm not familiar with the song, it never hits me. But I think that it was just nicely said throughout. And then, you know, we all like to be a star at the end of the day. I wish we could play guitar at the end of the day. I think that was an intriguing ending to this. I did like the repeat was interesting because it kept taking you, you know, to say it's okay, you know, to like your job, and it's okay, you know, for all kinds of things. And I thought that was neat, the way it was expressed in there. I don't know, it just was just nicely done. So yeah, and I don't envy you about judging this because. Yeah, I wouldn't
want to
be the one.
Yeah, he took part of the song. He left out that thought at the end of the line and just went with the well, it's okay angle played throughout. And I did like the notation too. Where was it? We all I can hear Tom Petty. We all like to be a star, and then all five at the end of the day, and wish we could play guitar again by Tom Petty, and then all five again at the end of the day. Had a nice ring to it.
Right. Yep, but a great job there for sure. Another great share. All kinds of good stuff happening. Yes, we do. Hey, what time is it? Is it 11 o'clock? It's just about 11 o'clock. You want me to play a song?
Sure, why not?
It's just an odd song out of nowhere? Okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to put up the number one. Let's see. Inside. How about Inside Out? Is that a good one?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Look out your window. The grass ain't green. It's kind of yellow. See what? Look up your chimney. The sky ain't blue. It's kinda yellow. You know it's true.
It's so hard to figure what it's all about.
When you're outside in,
inside out,
and you're downsides
upside down.
Yeah, you're upside. Shout when you're inside out. Look down your drain pipe. What color do you see? It's got to be yellow.
Inside out.
And you're downside up. and shout when you're inside out. Be careful where you're walking, you might step in something rough. Be careful when you're talking, saying all that stuff. Be careful when you are breathing, something's funny. With your mystic crystal ball, see if it ain't yellow. Do you register at all?
Ain't no shadow of a doubt. Don't it make you wanna twist and shout?
When you're outside in,
inside out,
and you're downside up. Yeah, you're upside right.
Right side up.
Yeah, don't it make you wanna twist and shout when you're inside out?
So, you know, anything about this one, Rex? Anything special you want to tell us? Ooh,
well,
I don't know.
I think this is off the volume 3, because I didn't hear Roy singing in the background, so I'm guessing this came off the second album. That has that tribute notice to Roy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because
I
definitely hear Jeff Lynn and George and Bob, and especially Tom Petty with that southern twang rolling in on the inside out stuff.
Right. Well, you are right there. I pulled it up because I didn't know anything about it, and I wasn't sure. I kind of threw it at you. I wasn't sure if you had anything lined up. But, yeah, it was from their 1990 album, Traveling Wilburys, Volume 3. It was written by all the members of the band, which had been reduced to a foursome following the death of Roy Orbison in December of 88. And it was the first song they worked on for the album. Lyrics address environmental issues and describe a world turned yellow. So see that? See, I found something out. Can I tell you? I just think it wasn't fair to throw it at you like that. But it was definitely, it had a nice rhythm to it. I liked it very much. So yeah, so I liked it. So I guess I have to go back to poetry, or you want to hear another one? I got a couple more.
Well, let's do the next. I think it's a duet,
okay,
or a trio.
A duet or a trio? One, two. It's three of them. There's three of them.
Ah, okay.
So we can. Okay, here we go. The next song is Not Alone Anymore. I'm just going to double check myself. Yes, Not Alone Anymore. Let me hit the button.
I thought that you George made the right decision on that. That was a perfect vehicle for Roy's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Sounded good. Sounded very good.
Yeah, they said his voice still rang true going through all those notes. Back in the day when the Beatles storm, I said, he never moved on stage, never wiggled, never jiggled. He stood like a marble statue, and the only thing that moved was his mouth and his hands on the guitar.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know, he wasn't up for all that showmanship. He was up about the music and the voice. You know, it made sense. You know, that's...
Well, I think, too, he needed to keep still because where he was drawing all those notes from, he probably couldn't have gotten all that by moving around much.
That could very well be true. Could very, very well be true. Okay, Rex. Well... Okay, I'm gonna start you out with this one. It's called "Back Again for Me" by Princess Alicia. And whenever you're ready, it's up on the board.
Okay.
And
"Back Again for Me" by Princess Alicia. All your texts tell me the same story: how you wish to be less boring. Your small talk keeps me walking away from you, thinking poorly. I thought that you were on your own. I checked for you on my phone. It's the same story told in the rain, how I feel misery and drizzled pain. Through the heartache, through the same mistake, it hurts like never before. Why can't you just close our door? We don't need to think about yesterday. What's done is done. It's time to be on our way. I let you down. I let you go. You didn't stick around for my show. Now you will never know how a woman's heart can grow. Even through such pain. Now I can't see you again. I'll see you through the rain, through the heartache and pain. Never see you ever again. And home.
Wow. I know. Sounds like she's alone. But she's never alone anymore. I mean, it was nicely put together. I mean, and it's a good story. Let me see where I can pick up a hunk of this. Wow. How I feel misery and drizzled pain through the heartache, through the same mistake. It hurts like never before. Why can't you just close our door? We don't need to think about yesterday. What's done is done. It's time to be on our way. I'll let you go. I let you go. Or I let you down. I let you go. Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, you know, but not alone anymore. I have to kind of look at that with curiosity and go, okay, so I guess they've moved on, you know, and she's found someone new. But it was a clever take on the prompt, that's for sure. So, nicely done, Princess Alicia. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, it does hit on a note of regret too. Which you read that part. What's done is done. It's time to be on our way. I let you down. I let you go. And then rolls into, you didn't stick around for my show. Now you will never know how a woman's heart can grow. Even through such pain, now I can't see you again. I'll see through the rain, through the heartache and pain. Never to see you ever again. It's definitely finality in that last note, but it does hit on a touch of not just the pain, but a little regret with "I let you down, I let you go." But it also hits on the idea up front about how you wish to be less boring. Your small talk keeps me walking away from you, thinking poorly. And then that sort of I thought that you were on your own. I checked for you on my phone. It's the same story told in the rain. How I feel misery and drizzled pain. Ooh. Hard notes right there. Yes. Hey. Sometimes the breakup is necessary to get past all the other stuff. And the sort of back again. Sometimes it works, but usually not right away. Sometimes you find that note again a couple of years down the road, if you're lucky.
Absolutely.
Nicely done, Alicia. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the next piece is by Sophie X, and it's called Herself is Better. And I'm going to give this one a read, so bear with me. I'm a little slow. Her dessert isn't ready for all of the friends. The taste will reach all ends. She better not leave herself. That's not what we call good health. She better not leave for Hollywood. It's a real shame if I know she would. She's got the best dessert in the neighborhood. Honey, it's not every day you see her smiling. I'm so used to seeing her hiding underneath her tight turtleneck. It's no wonder she's high tech. How she types real fast on a keyboard. She's faster than herself on a kneeboard. That's why I'm often bored. It's a real shame if I know she's soared. Herself. She can drive many things, airplanes with unsteady wings, trucks that transport ducks, trains that choo-choo pains. She's so good at looking in the rain. That's why I hide inside my plane, where I find her looking quite pale. She's holding an umbrella the size of a whale. How she holds it is unclear. That's why I drink too much beer. Honey, she's coming down the sidewalk. She's doing it back with backward talk. Her umbrella bleeds into the welcome home carpet of tears. Excuse me. That's why I drink too many beers. As years go by, I'm saying to her goodbye through the rain and stain. I know we are in deep unholy pain. End poem.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's some nice little oddities in here. I like that. The third one. She can drive many things, airplanes with unsteady wings, trucks that transport ducks, trains that choo-choo pains. She's so good at looking in the rain. It's why I hide inside my plane, where I find the looking quite pale. She's holding an umbrella the size of a whale. How she holds it, it is unclear. That's why I drank too much beer. I like that. The thing she did that twice with the beer angle. I thought that was a nice little touch of humor. But it kind of hits on the idea of somebody walking away. She said that she's got the best dessert in the neighborhood. Well, that's kind of a nice note. She better not leave for Hollywood. Yeah. And then it's not every day you see her smiling. I'm so used to seeing her hiding underneath her tight turtleneck. It's no wonder why she's high tech. How she types so fast on keyboard. She's faster than herself on a kneeboard. That's why I'm often bored. It's a real shame if I know she's sore. Again, that kind of note of there's almost a note to jealousy within that note of it's a real shame if I know she's sore. Kind of trying to keep her down. She's trying to better herself maybe with the thought of the high tech, or that high tech might reference high maintenance. Don't know for sure, but it could. And then that thought, the last one, she's coming down the sidewalk, she's doing the backward talk. That offers a backward talk. That kind of implies that she's hiding something, a lying. How she scatters round seeds. No wonder it's all she needs. Seeds kind of, is that the offering for someone else to come along? And then it's a real shame how her umbrella bleeds into the welcome home carpet of tears. That's why I think I drank too many beers. As the years go by, I'm saying to her goodbye. Through the rain and stain, I know we are in deep unholy pain. Oof, deep unholy pain. There's a fixating note between the two of them. They're not good for each other.
Yeah, yeah. But this was an interesting take on that same point. Not alone anymore. It definitely sounds like somebody's alone here. But, you know, I get, you know, confused sometimes. So maybe I'm just looking at it differently. But I thought that it was an interesting take on that prompt and a nice share. Thanks for sharing with us and nice job. That's for sure. Sophia XE, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Sophia XE.
It's a new name to me. Yeah, it's definitely a new name to me. So, yeah, Nice job. Nice job. Weird, what did I do here? Okay, got it. Got it, got it, got it. Okay, Rex, and I have the next one for you, and this is by Jenny the Deep. And it's called Waiting to Rewrite My Story. There we go.
Okay. Okay, where you at?
I put it in the room.
Ah, there it is.
Yep. You didn't get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good. That's
Waiting
the name I put it in.
Waiting to Rewrite My Story by Jenny the Deep. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Anticipating, deteriorating. Tired of being abandoned and berated. Longing to be loved again and tolerated. Spit on, disheveled, disgruntled, I triangulate. Digging deep, trying not to self-triangulate. A low down, no good, uncontrollable junkie on a lonely road seeking a self-atoned remedy. Must correct my mistakes I made myself before books come flying off the shelf. Committing me in an institution benefits who? Abandoning me in my time of need helps you. Overexposed, judged, and ostracized, looked down upon, passed by, and side-eyed, one day I'll prove myself worthy. Sitting here while I wait, I'll rewrite my story and poem.
Nice.
Another one.
Nice read. Yeah, this is a good piece, you know, waiting, 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 anticipating, deteriorating, tired of being abandoned and berated, and longing to be loved again and tolerated. Spit on, disheveled, disgruntled, I triangulate. Digging deep, trying not to self-strangulate. A low-down, no-good, uncontrollable junkie on a lonely road seeking a self-atoned remedy. That's quite a beginning to this piece. It has all kinds of, it's a terrible story to live through, you know, or to even to read through. I mean, you know, it's a lot. You would never wish that on anyone. And then it's about must correct my mistakes. You know, I mean, it's a lot, you know. Committing me in an institution benefits who? You know, it's a sad piece, a very, what would be a good word for me there, Rex? I don't know. It's just got a really hard note to it, you know. And then the final stanza gives you a little bit of hope, I guess, in the very end line. You know, overexposed, judged, and ostracized, looked down upon, passed by, and side-eyed. One day I'll prove myself worth sitting here while I wait. I'll rewrite my story. So wherever she's sitting right there and then, you know, she's got to make changes in order to rewrite it. And I think that was pretty well put together. So, but it was a real harsh poem, you know, up until that very last stanza. So, but it was nicely done. So thank you, Jenny, so much for sharing with us.
I like that run on those first four lines. The big ones. Tired of being abandoned and berated, longing to be loved again and tolerated. Spit on, disheveled, disgruntled, I triangulate. Digging deep, trying not to self-strangulate. A low-down, no-good, uncontrollable junkie on a lonely road seeking a self-atoned remedy. It does hit on those notes of Roy working his way through these lines, and again, the back end of this too, overexposed, judged, and ostracized, looked down upon, passed by, and side-eyed. One day I'll prove myself worthy. Sitting here while I wait, I'll rewrite my story. So there's already outside those last two lines, especially the last two, I'll prove myself worthy. Sitting here while I wait, I'll rewrite my story. There's already a note to reprieve despite the circumstances in that last line. So, nicely done, Jenny.
Yes. Okay, give me one second. And
that was the last one in that set, right?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Let's do Last Night.
Last Night? Okay. Let me find it. Last Night. There it
You'll
is.
You'll like
this one. There you go.
She heard my guitar. She was long and tall. She was the queen of them all.
She pulled out a knife. You want to hear your life? I was like, ooh. You might want to retract that proposal. But definitely, you know, has a good touch of humor to it. What you know about this one? And what do you want to tell me about this one, I should say?
It was written by Brian Howes and John Cooper. Brian Howes is a Canadian singer, songwriter, and producer. And John Cooper is an American founder of the band Skillet, the Christian rock.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
That's all I know about the song. I don't know much about
okay.
those songs.
Okay. You got to start somewhere, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it was a bouncy one. It was bouncy, bouncy. I liked it. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Petty liked the fact that George was also a connoisseur of 50s style music, the bounce and the play that went with it, you know, like Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry,
right.
and those guys.
It was well done, well put together, and you know, it was enjoyable. I should put it that way. It was enjoyable. Now. We have two more left. And the next one, the lead-in song for that, is Heading for the Light. So let me play that one. And, let's see what we can do here.
I wandered around, nothing more than time on my hands.
That was primarily written by George Harrison. They recorded that in the kitchen of Dave Stewart's home in L.A. And they were all playing rhythm guitars. And they were using a drum beat track to help keep the pace for them. That's when after they did spend those 10 days recording all the music, that's when Jeff and George went back to London. They overdubbed the drum kit in real drums, and they put in the saxophone and then any other tidbits in the mixing angle.
Right. It's funny because as soon as you said George Harrison, I'm like, yeah, I could kind of hear that. You know, I could kind of hear that. I couldn't pinpoint it when I was listening.
This is one of those songs that was a kind of a reflection of his Cloud Nine album, which he put out in '87 with Jeff Lynne doing the production on it. But it also kind of hits on that note of coming out of a period of confusion and doubt. So this kind
right.
of hits a higher note of heading into the light, so to speak, and seeing things with a brighter tone, getting back
right.
to the basics of himself and maybe even God. It's just this tone of spirituality within it.
Right. Yeah, it definitely had a little bit of it definitely had the Harrison feel. You know, it's like you were saying on some of the other songs, you know, you could hear the Tom Petty, you could hear the Roy Orbison, you'd hear the Dylan, you know, you definitely hear the George Harrison in this one. So pretty amazing.
Well, George was a stickler. Before they did the songs, he had everybody sing a piece of the song to find out where the parts would fit well. So he laid that down very nicely.
Yeah,
everybody got their little tidbits, and he got that right voice in the moment for those words that he wanted expressed.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. Okay, now, the poem we have for this song is called Love is a Place to Die, Always Not in Vain by Ben Hart. All right, so I'm going to hand this one over to you.
And all right.
It's up whenever you're ready.
Love is a place to die. All is not in vain by Ben Hart. I told you so, Noah. And were she still here, she would have said the constellations were made by the dead, breadcrumbs on the road to heaven, so they'd know the way back. Well then, my darling, where's yours? I must go. Signs of life. No, Mama. I am never coming home. I must go now. I want to look on without wishing the skies were falling down. So say your goodbyes, because love is a place to die. And I've gotten used to drowning. At least I'm no longer doing so downhill. And if those skies wouldn't come to me at my lowest, they'll just have to suffer my rise to find the fountain of news from which God divined my eyes. Looking forever away from the hell in my mind. I must go now, Mama, but I promise you, I will be all right. For I have your heart, and I bear your scars, and your ability to look so far beyond God ever meant for us to know, which is why I must go. Got to see if there's more of this freedom. When holding this nothing is close, and if not, then it will still be somewhere to escape in. As I let myself be replaced, lie after lie, into something I hardly recognize. But when I raise my head and look far enough away, so much of you remains. That never changes. I promise, Mama, when I'm done, time shall not erase us. All is not in vain. I will return the rain from which it came, your son with many names. Home. A sound that grows into an overdose tone, heartbeats in the hallway, forgotten voices calling. You were supposed. You should have known, you could have been, you never think. You should have come home, but now a darkness grows between walls' hollows, eating at the streets, and you were right. This is defeat. The house will win, and I will remain within. Nothing more than forgotten, a heartbeat in the wall, something rotten. End poem. Ben did take a number of prompts. He took 2, 3, and 5, and for the last vignette, he took number 9. So I figured it would be a good song to finish, open up with, because he was going to finish with that note.
Right.
All right,
Gene.
Yeah. What do you think?
You know, as always with Ben, it takes me a while to really digest what I'm reading, because, you know, he has three three vignettes here, and each one kind of touches on something a little different. The second vignette, you know, was amazing to me, but it was, "No, Mama, I'm never coming home. I must go now. I want to look on without wishing the skies were falling down. So say your goodbyes, because love is a place to die." It's kind of an amazing vignette there. I keep wanting to say stanza, but it's not what it is. You know, "Looking forever away from the hell in my mind. I must go now, Mama, but I promise you I will be all right. For I have your heart and I bear your scars and your ability to look so far beyond. God ever meant for us to know, which is why I must go. Get to see if there's more, you know, of this freedom. When holding this nothingness close, and if not, then it will still be somewhere to escape in, as I let myself be replaced, lie after lie." amazing vignette there. And, you know, as he signed off on this vignette, it says, "Your son with many names." You know, it's got a lot of depth to it, I think, because of the way it kind of resonates inside of you. You know, like anyone who's a mother who has children, any child that's ever had a hard time and needed to just go, you know, on so many different levels and so many different ways, you know, this can affect someone. And I think that it was really well written. You know, as always, Ben's a wonderful poet. I just, like I say, I just have trouble trying to digest it all at one sitting. So that is kind of hard when they come on the boards for the shows, because, you know, of course, I'm always bouncing around doing whatever, even if it is just something here outside the box. But well done, Ben, and I think it was a good take on the prompt, or the prompts. I thought it was clever and well written, definitely. So thank you for sharing, as always.
Yes. This is about life, the journey, because he opens up that first vignette. "And were she still here, she would have said that constellations were made by the dead, breadcrumbs on the road to heaven, so they'd know the way back. Well, then, my darling, where's yours?" There's a note of death right in there, that first vignette, and the signs of life. That's going back a little bit in time, that, "No, Mama, I'm not coming home. There's things I have to see, there's things I have to journey, the life, the road where life takes you, so to speak," and all those notes. And then, "I promise, Mama, when I'm done, time shall not erase us. All is not in vain. I will not return the rain. I will return the rain from which it came, your son with many names." And then home kind of hits on that angle of one can never really go home because of that which is, forgotten voices. There's death here too. Let's see. "For now a darkness grows between walls hollows, eating at the streets, and you are right. This is the feat. The house will win, and I will remain within. Nothing more than forgotten, a heartbeat in the wall, something rotten." There's that note of going home and knowing she's already passed on, but still living within the house, so to speak, because you got all those little tidbits, those mementos, the knickknacks, the furniture, the stuff that still smells of her, pictures, all manner of things that were hers. It is about life's journey and the pain and the heartache that comes with it, and the need to make the your own path and taking those roads to find that path. So, well done, Ben. Thank you.
Okay.
Do we do another song?
Do I have one more? I have two more. I lied.
Yeah.
But what is it? It's 20 of? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, which one would you like? I have Runaway or Dirty World?
Runaway. Why not? That's a little upbeat, you know.
Okay, there we go. That's then the winner is. Yes. Oh, I missed the wrong one. I get three choices of what the hell.
I'm stopping.
Okay.
I ain't sure, but I think that was Jeff Lynne.
I don't know, but I can tell you, I really made sure real quick that I was on mute. I started singing along, and I went, I better be sure about this. Yes. That's all you need. Hear me singing. Y'all be going. Yeah, not good. But it was, I like that one. I always have liked that one. So it was a good choice, Rex. Good choice. Oh, my. Yeah, I don't know. That could be very well true.
Well, I would have thought it would have been a Tom Petty song, but I don't think Tom can hit those high notes that were in that song. So, and since it wasn't Roy, I got to guess it was definitely Jeff Lynne, because that wasn't George and it wasn't Bob.
Right. Yeah. And it didn't sound like Tom Petty, that's for sure, because his voice is pretty distinct. So I didn't hear
that. Yeah, you got that twang.
Yeah. Because I like Tom Petty. I do. I could just sit and listen to that all night. I could just sit here and hit buttons all night long. But it was very good. Very good. So let's see now. The next one I have, called Tweeter and the Monkey Man. Can't make this stuff up.
You're going to like that song.
Okay, well, I believe
you. You're going to like that song.
Okay, let me hit the button, and we're going to listen. I'm going to put myself on mute, just in case I start to chuckle.
Tweeter and the Monkey Man were hard up for cash. They stayed up all night selling cocaine. Across the Jersey line, so they hopped into a stolen car, took Highway 99.
Man was on the river bridge using Tweeter as a shield. Chad said to the Monkey Man,
That Monkey Man was bad business. Just saying.
Oh yeah. It's it's the longest song they ever did. That
really?
You get to see. And Tweeter and the Monkey Man are two drug dealers. Their nemesis is the undercover cop, and the cop's sister Jan is a longtime love interest of the Monkey Man. So
I don't know, man. It was definitely different. And yeah, you could hear the whole story throughout. It was pretty well done. So
and even though you this is definitely a Bob Dylan song, they all five of the guys got credit for the writing of the song itself. So it came off Volume 1 in 1988.
Right.
And it was a fun piece. It was a hell of a story.
Absolutely. They definitely captured the story in it very, very well. Most definitely. So, Rex, are you up for the last one? You want to read it?
Sure.
Okay. I know. I'm making you work like a dog today. I know. But this is kind of a dense write, and I don't want to screw it up because I'm reading it funny. So here we go. This is called Monkey Says as Monkey Does. By T. Parry, 898.
Monkey Says as Monkey Does by T. Parry, 898. With a pocket full of mumbles, Jack Frost spun a dripping tale that concerned a mixed-up floozy who was prized out of her cell. Backhand deals and dodgy dealings wrought a tragic tale of loss. There was murder, loss, and heartache in this game of double cross. We were fed a hard luck story of illegal merchandise. Seems the coffee's full-time loser was the one who paid the price. Jan the floozy palmed the aces. They had dealt a losing hand. Took a slow train to the city, fell in with the Monkey Man. In a story draped in violence, seedy streets were commonplace. Tweeter dealt in exploitation, hid a mask beneath her face. Seems the prologue left me wanting. I was hung and left to dry. I was misled by the Monkey Man and told a wicked lie. The emblazoned East Street hustler stole himself a walk-on porch. In New Jersey, they were grateful that he had a change of heart. Jack Frost sprung him from the prison under cover of the night. Curly Willie took a rain check. He was blinded by the light. Go-kart Mozart took the high road in Nebraska. Love was dead. Blindborn bus was pulling faces while the boss was seeing red. Casanova stealing kisses, Mona Lisa's come undone. It was seen the boss and Dylan, they were simply bone to run. And boom.
Great read, Rex. Great read. I was looking at this and I started like seeing different titles and stuff running through. So I was kind of like, So I said, well, maybe Rex needs to read this because, you know, you don't miss much. But yeah, it was definitely a great piece by T. Parry. I always enjoy his work. His rhyme is always excellent, and he handled this really well. And I think it was a great take on that that prompt for sure. And what did you think of it, Rex? Tell me your take on it.
Oh, it's a fun piece. He definitely bit into the story a little bit, but added his own little twist and touch. I like the fact that he brought in Bruce Springsteen, because the original story does take place in Jersey, and Bruce is an Asbury Park boy, so got to drop him in there. And I like the fact that he dropped in Go-Kart Mozart from Blinded by the Light.
Yeah.
Nice touch with that. And the Curly Whirly, also from the from Blinded by the Light.
Yeah.
Which he alludes to. Curly Whirly took a rain check. He was blinded by the light. And then he that last line, it would seem the boss and Dylan, they were simply born to run. So you get the irreverency of Dylan's song kind of married up a little bit with the irreverency of Blinded by the Light, which really didn't do a great deal with the boss, but Manfred Mann's take on that song really made that song shine. This between Bruce's original and the Tweeter and the Monkey Man, they run along the same angle of that telling walking through a storyline, whereas Manfred Mann really lit up the song to make it burst. But I like this book just for the tale it tells, because he dipped into nicely with the cop and Tweeter and Jan and the Monkey Man, but he changed a little bit. Seems the prologue left me wanting. I was hung and left to dry. I was misled by the Monkey Man. I stole the wicked lie. Then he rolls in here. The emblazoned E Street hustler stole himself a walk on part. That's a nice touch there. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. In New Jersey, they were grateful that he had a change of heart. Jack Frost sprung him from the prison under cover of the night. Curly Willie took a ring that he was blinded by the light. I said, you got the opening half walking in on the story from the Wilbury, finishing out with the story coming out of Blinded by the Light. And they both hold some irreverent charm to them, so they work well together as a note of, yeah, you know, a hell of a story coming out of Dylan and a hell of a story that came out of Springsteen. And he kind of just walked them together in a little bit of a narrative off the original piece. That was clever. This is a good piece.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a great piece.
I like the nice bounce in this too, the long lines. They're set just right, and they work well because you got the break. With a pocket full of mumbles, Jack Frost spun a gripping tale that concerned a mixed-up floozy who was pissed, who was pried out of her shell. Backhand deals and dodgy dealings wrought a tragic tale of loss. There was murder, loss, and heartache in this game of double cross. So he definitely planned this out carefully and making sure it was well balanced.
Absolutely, yeah. I really did. I like this a lot. And Pete Barry has a wonderful way of writing all the time. But I think, as you said, I have to agree with you 100% all the way through. You know, in a story draped in violence, seedy streets were commonplace. Tweeter dealt in exploitation, hid a mask beneath her face. Seems the prologue left me wanting. I was hung and left to dry. I was misled by the Monkey Man and sold a wicked lie. Yeah, he just really did a great job. Every stanza is really well done. His rhyme and meter is always spot on, and he
dug hard into this. This is the the fattest piece I've seen from T. Perry so far, and it's one I really, really enjoy because of how it's all laid out, and it dips in fun, it dips into illusion, and just enjoying the tale told.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, he did. He really met the prompts very well. I enjoyed his rhyme and meter throughout, and I think he just really did. He the piece was great, and he met that prompt so well. Yeah, there's no taking that away from him on this. This is excellent. So excellent piece, T. Perry, and thanks for sharing with us as always. That's excellent. Very excellent. So, Rex, what do you have coming up next week?
I've already got it up. Next week, you got to come sail away with Styx.
Styx. Yeah, there you go.
We got Come Sail Away, Renegade, Lady, Fooling Yourself. What else we got in there?
God.
I dug into and picked a ton of their – I've forgotten how many good – songs they had that were hits back in the day. Let's see what we got here. Yep, Come Sail Away, Renegade, Too Much Time on My Hands, Sweet Madam Blue, Blue Collar Man, Lady, Radio Silence, Show Me the Way, Babe, and Fooling Yourself.
Excellent. Great lineup of songs. Yeah, you know, it sticks. When they were done, they were done. You know, you never heard of them again. You know, they just kind of got lost in the shuffle somewhere.
It's funny because that song, Lady, was written in 72. That was the very first power ballad in rock.
That's something. It's crazy. Yeah, I remember them well. I guess I was in high school when they kind of hit the top. But yeah, that'll be a good show. I like it. And you know, tomorrow everybody join Louie Wildove for the Garden of Enlightenment. It's Front Page Picks and Open Poetry, followed by Rex's After Midnight Show with Pam. What's your topic tomorrow night, Rex?
That would be where is come on.
You can do it. I have faith.
It is. Oh, I got lost it. Alan Moore.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure who Alan Moore is, but everybody check out the topic board, check out the contest. Hop on in and, you know,
some
do
quotes.
Them a right. Quotes, there you go, quotes. And so Rex will be looking forward to reading you. And so will Pam. And if I can keep my eyes open, I might listen in as well. But so that'll be a good show too. Anyway, Rex, it was fun tonight. Some decent poetry.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Some good songs and everything. And it was fun. I like the extra songs too. That kind of was a little bit of something in the middle and, you know, near the end. So it's pleasantries. Anyway, you have yourself a wonderful rest of the night. Wow.
What the hell is that?
I just went through all of that whole big thing. Thank you guys, great show, all that. But I was on mute. Everybody have a great night. Take care. Bye-bye.